The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. It is Wednesday, so we're smack dab in the middle of the week. The Supreme Court did indeed give two more opinions today, but they didn't. They did not. Let me say that again. They did not yet finish off the term. They still have two more to go, and there's a biggie coming tomorrow. Tomorrow will be the last day of this term of the Supreme Court. Problem is, there's nothing supreme about this court. I think we should change it. I know I was calling them the fascist court, which is accurate, but it's not as exciting, you know? Extreme court. It's the not the Supreme Court. It's the extreme court. And the extreme court knows no end to the damage that these people want to do to the nation. That's just one of many things on the table to talk about today. Because here's the deal. We have for, I was going to say the past few weeks, but when you think about it, it's been a lot longer than that. For the past however long, we've been listening. We've been listening to our elected officials. We've been listening to the TV pundits. We've been listening to the people with big mouths who don't know jack shit. We've been listening. Well, today, it's your turn to speak up. Today's show, I've got a lot of, you know, audio clips and video and stuff that's happened over the past however long that I will share throughout the course of the hour. But this is your day. I know if you're like me, you've got a lot of opinions about what's been going on in this country. So today, I'm giving you the platform to share your thoughts. There are a few ways to reach the show. You can call in 954-889-6410. You can Skype in. If you're on Skype, I'm Nicole Sandler, all one word. Or today I set up a special Zoom link. So if you want to Zoom in, just go to bit.ly/Nicole Sandler Show. That should get you into the Zoom room, and I can bring people in as you guys enter. So let's get started right away because someone's on the phone from the 347 area code. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Jonathan. I have a lot to say.
Okay, I'm sorry. Who is it? Tell me your first name again.
Jonathan.
Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan. Okay, Jonathan. Go on. You're up first. Oh, wait, let me say one other thing. Sorry, Jonathan. Hold on one more second. So I see like there's somebody else already calling in. Here's the problem and not the problem. Here's just how calling into this program works. I don't have a call screener. I don't have a producer. I do it all myself. So if you hear someone on the phone, like Jonathan is on the phone now, wait until he hangs up and then call in because I can only take one person at a time on this line. Or you can get in line in the Zoom room by going to bit.ly/Nicole Sandler Show. All right. So whoever that is, 917, you're going to have to call back because I'm not going to be able to get you now. Okay. With that, Jonathan, you're on.
So my thing about this is I watched the entire January 16th. I was not shocked and not surprised, but I was surprised that that man, this piece of shit, if I could use that term,
yeah,
did all this crazy shit, blowing your food because of an election that you lost, ranting and getting upset over bullshit. You lost a damn election, man. I'm sorry, but you lost.
Yeah.
Like, and you get upset and then commit an insurrection? That's kind of bad. And we haven't had one since when Abraham Lincoln was president. We had another one, like, What I saw from that thing was that Donald Trump, that bitch Trump cannot be trusted. His staff cannot be trusted. He wants to be a dictator.
You are correct.
That's why I'm telling people to vote.
Okay.
Because this is not time to see.
Right. Well, that's our recourse now, is to vote. Right. You're right, Jonathan. Okay.
And also, sorry.
No, go ahead.
But also, I also feel like establishment Democrats, I'm sorry, but you're fucking bad. I'm sorry, but you let this man become president. Joe Biden is sitting on his butt. He did some great stuff. But fear-mongering about other parties not going to help you in elections. It really is. You have to actually show what you do. Yep. We didn't give you the power to just sit there.
Yep, Jonathan, you're right.
And so nothing.
Right, you're right. Now, I don't know if you heard, but the statement from Joe Biden didn't come out and say it, but Karine Jean-Pierre, the new press secretary, said that President Biden is not in favor of expanding the court. I don't know about you, but that kind of leaves me a bit disillusioned, because what are we supposed to do now? We got to live with these extremists turning us into a fundamentalist Christian Sharia kind of country.
Hey, yeah, but also the thing that gets me mad is that we give you everything. We give you the White House, the Senate, the House. We have everything.
Yep.
All of you care about, which I'm going to say progressive you do, say the truth. They do not care. Establishment Democrats, I learned this a long time ago, they're not your friends. Although Obama was a great speaker, really wasn't the best, because they're not your friends.
Right. No, they're all, you know, they don't have, they've not shown to have the values that we need. I agree with you. Hey, Jonathan, I'm going to run and try to give other people a chance to get in, but thank you for calling, and it's good to have you out there listening. Again, 954-889-6410 is the number. If you're on Skype, you can Skype in Nicole Sandler, all one word, or you can join in using the Zoom. If you want to jump on the camera, Zoom or not, it's to get to the Zoom room, bit.ly/Nicole Sandler Show. All right. So I've got a bunch of stuff. Obviously, we can talk about the hearings. We can talk about, did you hear last night? Of course, yesterday, a big part of the hearings, one of the biggest bombshells that Cassidy Hutchinson dropped was the story that she told about Trump basically physically attacking the Secret Service guy in the car as they were leaving the rally when he learned that they were not going to take him to the Capitol. Then the people that she said told her about this. Oh, I should have brought up the guy's name. Hold on. I've got it here somewhere. But you know what? What I'll do is I'll bring up the clip in which she talks about it, if you bear with me, because I can, believe it or not, talk and chew gum at the same time. So, but I will always give priority to phone calls. Okay, from the 917 area code, you got to turn the computer down and listen through the phone because there's a little bit of delay. Who's this?
Yes. Hello. This is Robert Hill.
Robert Hill, NYC. Boy, Robert is one of our longtime listeners, supporters, hangs out in the chat room on the Listen Live page at NicoleSandler.com, where it's a very exclusive group over there. Hey, Robert.
Hey there. Folks, Nicole has been helping keep me sane since the Air America days. Oh. I ask you to please go to her website and hit that donate button. I'm calling, Nicole, because I have this fantasy about Trump's favorite new nightmare.
Okay.
The new nightmare would be if only that truck would have taken him to the Capitol, he could still be president.
Yeah. He was saying that, wasn't he?
Yeah. And, you know, if only he had gotten there, he could come in and he could be one of those videos like the maggots. Put, you know, Trump, Rambo Trump, where they put Trump's head on Rambo and they have Rambo Trump, barreling through places and knocking heads and getting impossible things done. If only he had been...
Hold on one second.
When you were
Robert, hold on one second.
I'm trying to get a video up that I'm going to play after you, and I wound up firing off like three different things. So bear with me 1 second so I can bring your audio back up again. Okay, I so apologize. All right, Robert, go, say again. I interrupted you.
I'm sorry if there are technical difficulties. I'm just imagining the Trump maggots are probably putting up images of Rambo rampaging through Congress with Trump's head pasted over Rambo's head.
Can you imagine? Yes.
And it's not only Trump's fantasy, it's the fantasy of a lot of maggots. And this is one of the many things we have to face these days. But I want to thank you personally, Nicole, for helping to keep America sane. You certainly helped keep me sane. Thank you very much. And I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of the show.
Thank you so much. Robert in New York City, thank you for all your support and for hanging in all these years. I so appreciate it. And thanks for your kind words. All right. You got the phone number, 954-889-6410, or Skype in to Nicole Sandler, or jump in that Zoom room. I gave you a special link, bit.ly. It's up on the screen, by the way, if you're watching one of the video streams, bit.ly/Nicole Sandler Show. So you can get in that way, too. So, all right, here's what I started talking about. I'm going to play for you again the clip where Cassidy Hutchinson yesterday told the story that she had been told about what happened in The Beast is actually how it was presented to her. She walked into the office of the White House Deputy Chief of Staff. And it sounds like they had a pretty, friendly relationship. And the first thing he said to her was, "Did you hear what happened in The Beast?" And she said, "No, I just got back. What happened?" And so they tell her the story that she recounts. Now, remember, Cassidy Hutchinson was under oath. And I guess the former guy was posting away on his Truth Social. Yeah. That's not under oath, in case you're wondering. We have also learned, before I play this clip, that these two, the Secret Service guy, Engel, and the Deputy White House Chief of Staff, are major Trump supporters. Like we should be surprised. So here's that part of the testimony. We go to Liz Cheney.
Ms. Hutchinson, when you returned to the White House in the motorcade, after the president's speech, where did you go?
When I returned to the White House, I walked upstairs towards the chief of staff's office, and I noticed Mr. Renato lingering outside of the office. Once we had made eye contact, he quickly waved me to go into his office, which was just across the hall from mine. When I went in, he shut the door, and I noticed Bobby Engel, who is the head of Mr.
Bobby
Trump's
Engel.
Security detail, sitting in a chair, just looking somewhat discombobulated and a little lost. And I looked at Tony, and he had said, "Did you effing hear what happened in The Beast?" I said, "No, Tony, I just got back. What happened?" Tony proceeded to tell me that when the president got in The Beast, he was under the impression from Mr. Meadows that the off-the-record movement to the Capitol was still possible and likely to happen, but that Bobby had more information. So once the president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby, he thought that they were going up to the Capitol. And when Bobby had relayed to him, "We're not. We don't have the assets to do it. It's not secure. We're going back to the West Wing." The president had a very angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, "I'm the effing president. Take me up to the Capitol now."
Wow.
To which Bobby responded, "Sir, we have to go back to the West Wing." The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
And was Mr.
Okay, I'm gonna go right to the next clip because they continue.
The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, "Sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol." Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted...
Okay, I'm going to interrupt for a moment here to say, I know what she is doing now is recounting the story that she says Tony and Bobby Engel shared with her, that when they returned to the White House, to the West Wing, after the rally, after they left the rally on the Ellipse, she walked into Tony's office. He is the deputy chief of staff, former Secret Service guy, big time Trumper. So last night I watched Rachel Maddow. Rachel Maddow interviewed Carol Lenig of the Washington Post, who is a somewhat expert on the Secret Service. She's written two books on them and knows how they operate. What she said is, look, I'm not saying one way or the other. I don't know. Tony and Bobby Engel are saying this didn't happen. But you'll hear in a moment that Liz Cheney does ask her if they ever said that wasn't true or denied it. But the other thing is that she did say that these two were Trump acolytes. These are two of his biggest boosters. And a lot of Trump's supporters are bending over backwards to deny reality and deny what happened. And she's made it clear. She's not saying I was there. She's not saying I saw this. She's saying this is what they told me. And as you'll hear in a moment, Liz Cheney asked her, did they ever contradict any part of this story? All right, let's get back to her testimony.
The story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
And was Mr. Engel in the room as Mr. Renato told you this story?
Renato.
He was.
Renato.
Did Mr. Engel correct or disagree with any part of the story?
There
from
you
Mr.
go.
Renato?
Mr. Engel did not correct or disagree with any part of the story.
Uh-huh.
Did Mr. Engel or Mr. Renato ever after that tell you that what Mr. Renato had just said was untrue?
Neither Mr. Renato nor Mr. Engel told me ever that it was untrue.
They never said it wasn't true.
And despite this altercation, this physical altercation, during the ride back to the White House, President Trump still demanded to go to the Capitol.
Okay, so that's that clip. Now, the solution is obvious. Both Tony Renato and Bobby Engel need to go under oath and testify. Because the first question is, did you tell Cassidy Hutchinson the story that she recounted to us? Are you saying she lied under oath? I do not believe she lied under oath. And by the way, there are many, including Republican allies of the former guy, who say, I know her. I've worked with her. She is as reliable as they come. She was a great witness. She didn't try to say that, for instance, that she witnessed the account. She just explained. She said, this is what they told me. So Tony Renato and Bobby Engel, if you really say that you didn't do this, then go to the committee, swear an oath to tell the truth, and tell the truth. I think, you know, maybe she got some of the details wrong because, again, this was secondhand. But she wasn't saying this is for sure what happened. She said this is what they told me happened. And she saw them. She described Bobby Engel as what did she say? Discombobulated, sitting on the couch. And Tony Ornato, and it sounds like they had a pretty good relationship, was the one who told her the story. Well, now he wants to say that didn't happen? I think he's got some splaining to do. Yeah. All right, so there's a few other things going on. Again, I will defer to your phone calls should you care to weigh in. I thought you guys would have a lot to say today. But if not, that's okay. We got other stuff to talk about. For instance, in case you hadn't heard, breaking news just about an hour ago, R. Kelly sentenced to 30 years for his abuse of women, for keeping sexual prisoners, for underage girls, for all the shitty things he did. And I didn't watch the Being R. Kelly TV show. I never was a fan of his music, but, you know, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. David, you have something to add?
I don't understand the position that you're taking. Everyone knows that there are no people that served under Donald Trump that lied under oath.
No.
And he's certainly one of the most upright, honest people we've ever had in public service.
Bullshit.
I think the last count was over 20,000 lies.
Yes, documented.
So certainly, you know, these people that were basically kissing his fat ass on a daily basis, they certainly wouldn't lie for him, would they?
Bullshit.
Yeah, they would in a heartbeat. And so these people, according to Carol Lenig, are big-time, long-time Trumpers who I wouldn't trust as far as I could throw them. And I could probably throw them about as far as I could trust the orange guy, you know? Oh, man. Okay, so let's see. We have Supreme Court rulings. We have the January 6th committee. You have Trump throwing food. it just goes on and on. You have R. Kelly. Finally, how many years did he get away with this shit? Sentenced to 30 years. Yesterday, Ghislaine Maxwell was sentenced to 20 years. I did see a tweet from Monica Lewinsky who asked, "Now do the men." Well, I guess R. Kelly, in some sense of the word, is a man, but not the kind of man that I, you know, consider a man. To me, he sounds like a rapist, an animal, you know, like that. I'm trying to look at the things that I didn't play yesterday because there were a number of things I didn't play yesterday. For instance, one of the biggest, you know, what's the opposite of hero? One of the biggest fuck-ups of this whole episode. One of the biggest brown-nosing, kiss-ass, you know, kind of person who will do anything to get ahead. Come on, you know who I'm talking about, right? That would be the wannabe Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. So what did Cassidy Hutchinson have to say about Kevin McCarthy? Well, I didn't get to this clip yesterday, so I do want to share it with you now. It goes like this. Here's what he said.
I want to quickly bring in Kevin McCarthy, the House Minority Leader. Leader McCarthy, do you condemn this violence?
I completely condemn the violence in the Capitol.
Uh-oh.
What we're currently watching unfold is un-American.
It is.
I am disappointed. I'm sad. This is not what our country should look like.
Wow.
This is not who we are. This is not the First Amendment. This has to stop, and this has to stop now.
Leader McCarthy, the President of the United States has a briefing room steps from the Oval Office. It is, the cameras are hot 24/7, as you know. Why hasn't he walked down and said that now?
I conveyed to the president what I think is best to do, and I'm hopeful the president will do it.
Oh.
Republican House member Mike Gallagher also implored the president to call off the attack.
Mr. President, you have got to stop this. You are the only person who can call this off. Call it off. The election is over. Call it off. This is bigger than you. It's bigger than any member of Congress. It is about the United States of America. which is more important than any politician. Call it off.
Call it off.
It's over.
Yeah, but he didn't call it off. You know that. He wanted it to go on. I mean, what we heard yesterday was astounding. And the fact that he's still walking around, the fact that Roger Stone is still walking around, the fact that Rudy Giuliani is still walking around. Excuse me? And by the way, the slap on the back? Are you kidding me? I mean, this was so sad that it's beyond comical. And I'm not going to play the video because you've seen it. He's like, it was like a boulder hit me on the back. A guy came up and patted him on the back and called him a scumbag or something. He deserved much worse. Well, the idiot, the dotard, I would call him. I'm just going to read to you the story because it's better than I could paraphrase it. Former Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani on Wednesday tried to attack the credibility of January 6th committee witness Cassidy Hutchinson, but he made a statement that appeared to be self-incriminating. Go figure. Rudy? It continues. Hutchinson, a former top White House aide with unique access to Trump and the inner workings of the West Wing, testified at the 6th June hearing of the House committee probing the attack. Da, da, da. An executive assistant to Trump's chief of staff, Mark Meadows. She was a central figure in the White House around the period of the insurrection, January 6th of last year. Writing on Twitter, Giuliani took issue with Hutchinson's claim that he, Giuliani, sought a pardon from the former guy. And so he tweeted, quote, the January 6th witch hunt cabal have now exceeded even its prior fraudulent. The last witness was a reckless liar. Contrary to her false testimony, she was never present when I asked for a pardon. Okay, without the lisp. She was never present when I asked for a pardon. He since deleted that tweet and he changed the language. And they said, actually, I told the president I didn't want or need one. Yeah, somehow I think that too is
bullshit.
Because, you know, Giuliani. Boy, talk about falling from grace. I remember, you know, I've told you, when I was a kid, I was 22, when I had finished college and I moved back to New York. And I took a job at WMCA, a talk station. And back in those days, the olden days, because I'm old, a talk station meant everything. We had a liberal, Barry Gray. We had a really right-wing guy, Bob Grant, with whom I worked. We had a radio psychologist and a financial guy and a doctor and, you know, it was a little bit, and we had news in the morning that was not skewed one way or the other. It was what a news talk station used to be before there were right-wing talk radio stations. And, there used to be a thing called Air America where there was actually some over-the-air radio stations that had progressive programming. Can you believe it? Yeah. It was a long time ago. It was before the crazies took over the airwaves, but I digress. Anyway, I worked with Bob Grant. And you know, he was crazy, but he still wasn't as crazy as these people are. But at the time, Rudy Giuliani was just rising through the ranks. He became a U.S. attorney. And Bob Grant used to have him on all the time, and he was Mr. Law and Order. And so I remember him from as a young man and a rising star. And to see him now, this doddering, old, stupid fool with a hair dye running down his face in a sweat at the Four Seasons landscaping parking lot. Oh, my God. And, you know, the fact that nobody in the Republican Party with that event that went on and none of them said, okay, stop it already. Stop it because this is really embarrassing. As so much of what they've done is so embarrassing. They just cover for this shit. You know, think about it. Some of them, I was attacked on social media for whatever, for covering the hearings and writing about the hearings and talking about the hearings. And more important than the hearings, the insurrection, right? They tried to, they attacked the Capitol with the intention of hanging Mike Pence. And I don't know what they would have done with Nancy Pelosi or AOC if they caught up with them. But these same people who screamed about Benghazi for 2 years had hearings that went on ad nauseum for years that uncovered nothing. But that's what they're like, oh, get over it already. You people are delusional. Look in the mirror. See, this is a prime example. If I could play music right now, I would have just launched into the Who. Go to the mirror, boy. Go to the mirror. But I can't. So you'll just have to hear it in your mind. But the delusionals are for some reason, just ruling everything. So I come across an article in my email. I get emails from all these different news publications. They're a little, newslettery kind of story digests. And there's this one from the Daily Beast. They're actually poaching from a story from the Miami Herald. But our paper wasn't delivered today, Miami Herald, so I guess I'm relegated to reading about it in the Daily Beast. And they write, in Florida, DeSantis conservatism has another target in its sights. I hope you're sitting down for this one. Statewide civics standards. Oops. All right. I defer to the phone. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Gene Rollins.
Gene?
Yes.
Hey, Gene, how are you?
Yeah.
You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yes. When you see the news reports, you never see a psychoanalyst analyze the issues. I never see it. But my favorite author is Erich Fromm. He was a German Jew who came to the United States in the 30s to escape Hitler. But he's got several good books. The Anatomy of Human Destructiveness, which he talked about group narcissism.
Yeah.
Also individual narcissism. He's got a book, Psychoanalysis and Religion, which is an excellent analysis of religion as it was, over the years. But I just recommend reading his works.
Okay. Tell me his name.
Fromm.
What's it? Erich Fromm. Okay.
Yes. He was born in Frankfurt, 1900. Jewish. Came to the United States in the 30s. But he has an excellent analysis of present day conditions.
Okay. Well, a lot of people do. I'll try to seek him out. Can't promise anything.
But a good starter book is To Have or To Be. Talk about religion. Of course, the title is a sort of self-explanatory. But The Anatomy of Human Destructiveness is probably one of his best books.
Okay. Is there a reason for this suggestion other than it's just somebody who you like reading?
Well, I mean, it's a psychoanalyst has lots of curiosity, and they can analyze the present situation of what's going on.
But no, a psychoanalyst can psychoanalyze somebody if he's sitting in his chair. I'm not really a big fan of people, playing psychiatrist on somebody that they've never spoken to.
Mm-hmm. But I guess you can analyze society at the same time.
Okay.
You don't necessarily have to be in a chair to analyze society.
I suppose. Okay. Well, I'll in my spare time I'll seek it out, Gene.
Erich Fromm.
All right.
Erich Fromm.
Gotcha.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. I'll tell you what. Probably not going to happen because I've got a stack of books that I want to read that I never can get to, and I get pitched on books constantly that I don't get the chance to read. And psychoanalysts are a dime a dozen. Sorry. I guess he's your guy. If he writes a book and they pitch me on an interview, then maybe I'll find a few minutes to thumb through it. But I'm just being honest with you. I'm not gonna seek out Erich Fromm and read the book. I just don't have the time, and I honestly, I don't have the interest. I just really don't. I'm more interested in looking at the way people are, for whatever reason, now touting Ron DeSantis. So it's funny how fickle, not just Republicans, many people are, but Republicans especially. So I started reading to you about this Ron DeSantis, this article that's in the Miami Herald, that's in the Daily Beast. And okay, so Miami Herald reported and Daily Beast re-reported that DeSantis has a new target in his sights. You know, he signed that anti-woke act and Don't Say Gay bill into law. Now he's setting his sights on statewide civics standards. Let me read to you. Several teachers took part in a 3-day workshop this week to preview what's to come in their classroom as part of the governor's Civics Literacy Excellence Initiative to make, quote, virtuous citizens. Can you spell propaganda? Yeah. They were not impressed. Teachers told the Miami Herald the new standards portray the founders as against the idea of the separation of church and state. DeSantis's propaganda civics lessons downplays the role of the colonies in slavery and pushes conservative judicial theories. Barbara Siegel, a 12th grade government teacher at Fort Lauderdale High School, said, quote, it was very skewed. There was a very strong Christian fundamentalist way toward analyzing different quotes and different documents. This was concerning. Richard Judd, a social studies teacher with 22 years experience, said there was a, quote, disturbing attempt to both censor and to drive or propagandize particular points of view. The State Department of Education refuted those concerns and issued a statement that read, quote, every lesson we teach is based on history, not ideology or any form of indoctrination.
Bullshit.
Let us know if you are actually interested in reviewing the coursework and understanding it for yourself. If this doesn't scare the shit out of you, then you're not paying close enough attention. I've said it before. I'll say it again and again and again and again. Ron DeSantis is more dangerous than Donald Trump. The reason? He's smarter. He's better educated. And I know others have said it, and by no means take this as me saying he's a good-looking man, because it's like skin crawling. But when you put him next to Donald Trump, you had to say which one of these specimens looks better. I'd grudgingly have to say Ron DeSantis. Well, because the orange thing is just a big orange blob with a bird's nest on its head, with a weird orange color skin, and from what we've been told, a little teeny weeny mushroom dick. Not that that makes any difference. It's just I point it out because it explains a whole lot about him. It really does. All right. Remember what I said about Ron DeSantis, because, well, you know what? Caller, there's a caller from, I think, from the 415 area code. Hold on 1 second, because I just got to play this clip first. And caller who's holding, you're not going to be able to hear this. I'm sorry. Just stand by. This is Joe Rogan. I'm sorry to be playing this for you, but I have to. Okay. Here's what Joe Rogan said.
I'm doing breaking news right now. Yeah. That wasn't even on purpose.
Oh, wait a minute. I went too far. Hold on.
Come out recently for DeSantis.
Yeah. I think Ron DeSantis would work as a good president.
What?
I mean, what he's done for Florida has been admirable.
What?
I feel like I'm doing breaking news.
It's been
right now.
Admirable? That wasn't even on purpose. There's nothing admirable.
I feel like what he did for Florida, a lot of people gave him a lot of grief, but ultimately he was correct.
No, he
was
wasn't.
When it comes to deaths.
Bullshit.
He was correct when it comes to protecting our vulnerable populations.
Bullshit.
He was correct in terms of distribution of monoclonal antibodies.
No, he wasn't correct about any of it. And this fucking cretin is telling parents in Florida, we're not going to allow you to get your children 5 and under vaccinated. And his donors at the public supermarket chain to whom he gave the vaccine contract in the first place said, oh, we're not going to vaccinate children 5 and under. Are you fucking kidding me? Don't listen to Joe Rogan. He's the guy who told you to take hydroxychloroquine. Moron. He's the guy on Fear Factor told you to eat bugs. You're going to listen to him? He's not in Florida. I'm in Florida. I'm telling you. No, Ron DeSantis would not be a good president. And he's a fucking shitty governor. Ugh. Okay, sorry about that. Had to get it out. Now, caller from the 415 area code. Hi. Who's this?
Hi, I'm Chris.
Chris. Hi, Chris.
I've been listening for a long time, but I call him sometimes and not very often.
Okay.
But this is just annoying the fuck out of me, all of this.
Yeah.
And what you said about, I didn't hear Joe Rogan, but I never listened to him, so I'm glad I didn't hear
Yeah,
that
what, because you're on the same channel as him on the board. But what he said was, Ron DeSantis, he's done a great job for Florida. I think he'd make a fine governor. Fine president. In fact, he's been right about everything. He was right. And everything he said he was right about, he was dead wrong about. He lied about everything. He made stuff up. He pretends he's a doctor. He is not. Joe Rogan has his head up his ass. So, sorry.
Well, yeah. Well, what you said about people like DeSantis, though, and I would say about Kellyanne Conway.
Oh, yeah.
And some of these other people is that, like what you said, they're smarter than people like Trump,
mm-hmm.
and they're not crazy. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Kellyanne Conway, if you listen to her interviews, I wish I could say she was batshit crazy, but she is an expert at gaslighting
yep.
and diversionary tactics, changing the way you think, asking questions when somebody is, you know, they're kind of presenting facts, and then she's just like, well, where's the question? You know, and pushing people and acting like a bully. And that's what they do. They act like bullies, and they present their own, and it's gaslighting.
It is. You're
basically,
right.
It's what it comes down to, and that's what Trump has been doing. And all of these people, since January 6th and before, you know, I'm talking about McCarthy, McConnell, I can't even remember his name now, the head of the, you know, the entire chamber of whatever. And sorry.
The Federalist Society, Leonard Leo, all those people, is that who you're looking for?
Kind of all of these people who keep changing their stories,
mm-hmm.
right on down to apparently now the Secret Service people.
Yeah.
Who are like Engel, for example, who are saying, you know, and what does Hutchinson have to lose? She's the first of all of these Republican witnesses who was escorted out with armed security. Because they were fearing for her safety.
Oh, yeah. And
you
know
what? What does she have to lose?
Well, her whole life, she's 26 years old. And this took some massive testicular fortitude for her to come forth. And in fact, at the end, you know what? Let me play this. Hopefully I can play it from here. Oh, you know what? I don't have... I'm gonna save this, Chris, till after you hang up so you can hear the clip. But at the end of the hearing... yesterday, Liz Cheney laid out a preview, basically, of what's to come. And
I saw that. She told how
people are being threatened. Well, one of the threats
yes.
we've now learned was made to Cassidy Hutchinson. I keep
yes.
wanting to call her Hawthorne. Yeah. Cassidy Hutchinson. One of those threats was one she got. And what I'm hearing now is maybe there wasn't such like a brand new evidence came to light, so we need to get it in right now. But they knew that she was coming under increased scrutiny by these crazy people and getting more and more threats. They were probably afraid, one, that they were going to lose her as a witness, and two, that something really bad could happen to her. So they wanted to get her testimony in immediately.
Right. And so that's why it's a surprise.
Yep.
That's why they had to slip her in. And not to mention the fact that like 15 or so of the witnesses have all been Republicans.
They've all been Republican. That's right.
Who have all stood up and said they believe more in the Constitution. So I don't know. I'm still scared. I'm glad that they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm actually saying that go Liz Cheney.
I know, right?
it blows my mind, but I'm just like, there's a person who's putting her entire career on the line because she gives more a fuck about the truth.
Right.
And I find that pretty amazing. And it turns out that all these witnesses are coming forth. And I was watching it on PBS. Just one last thing. I don't mm-hmm. want to keep, because you
it's fine. Chris, you know.
It's your show, but I was watching on PBS and they had their correspondent, Lisa Desjardins.
Yes.
Who was in the room at the time. And she says she has phone numbers of a lot of the Congress people because she's in Congress all the time. She's their correspondent. She said she was texting Congress people, especially Republicans, and saying, are you watching this? And she said a lot of them would said, no, we're not. And she texted back to them or called them and said, maybe you should.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a PBS correspondent.
Yep. Yep.
Who actually has direct contact with Congress people who are like, nah, we're not paying attention. And there I'm thinking again, well, that's probably just more gaslighting. They're either watching and they know and they're scurrying to cover their asses, or they have people in their offices who are watching for them to start filling documents and because they're covering their asses.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's both. Yep. Chris, I think you're spot on.
Yeah.
They are watching. And now there are reports today that the former guy is quaking in his boots, that he's really angry. Oh, the tweets he sent out attacking Cassidy were just ridiculous, but they're exactly what you'd expect. She was the coffee girl. I didn't really know her. I don't know who she is. We saw where her office was, where she sat. She was the executive assistant to the White House chief of staff. Therefore, she's privy to everything. Mark Meadows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Privy to everything. Now, Mark Meadows is chicken shit. He needs to get up there and testify. As does.
Well, and that's what I loved about Benny, the chairman, yesterday. At his last statement, when he said, all of you men out there claiming the fifth, maybe some of you might remember something.
Right. All of
or
a
maybe
sudden.
Some of you might find the courage that you somehow lost somewhere along the way. Our doors are open. And when he said, if you have found some courage that you somehow lost,
right.
I was like, dude, that was dope when he said that. I was like, yes, sir. That's a hell of a way to close out a hearing.
Hell yeah.
Like, maybe some of you men will find your cojones.
Yeah, that would be nice.
All these women, it would be nice.
That would be nice.
Well, you know, it's, you know, don't even get me started on the, there was the whole thing where somebody, I forget who it was now, claimed executive privilege and claimed the Fifth Amendment.
Right. Well, that, I
and
think
people
that.
People were like, well, you can't claim both.
Right. Well, we have, what's his name? John Eastman, the lawyer, who said, executive privilege and probably Fifth also. And we saw what happened to him. The feds patting him down, taking his cell phone. That's all right. You know, don't cooperate. Good. See what happens.
All the rats usually come to account eventually.
Eventually.
As they say, the truth eventually comes to light one way or the other. That's what we're hoping for.
That's what
we're
hoping
for. And
then
we have to hope that maybe the toddler in chief will maybe wind up in an orange jumpsuit one day.
Oh, please. It would so complement the rest of his palate.
Oh, God. So sickening.
Keep it in the color family.
Nicole, well, I know.
All right.
And the rest of them, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, love listening to you. I don't call in very often, but great talking to you. I'm glad you're well.
Thank you so much.
And keep on keeping talking the truth.
You got it. Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it. I love taking calls from you guys. And honestly, the reason that I don't do it more often, frankly, is most people listen to the show after the live broadcast. You know, they listen on a podcast or they see one of the videos or whatever. So I'm always surprised when the phones ring busily. But I know you're out there listening. And so today is a good time to call in. Again, 954-889-6410. Nobody seems to want to come on camera with me with the Zoom. So yeah, I'll leave that alone. Okay, so what? Oh, hold on. Got another call coming in. 650 area code. Where's the 650 area code? Or is it 6? No, it's 650. Hi, who's this? Hello? I see somebody's there, but I don't hear them. All right, I'm going to hang up. There was somebody there, but the call didn't work. Okay. And I know who this is. This is Will in Chicago. Hi, Will. Hello? Do I have something funky going on with the phone?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Hi.
Sorry, I was shutting the stream.
Oh, cool.
I was going to say that as a professional educator, I have to say I'm not surprised by what DeSantis attempted to pull with the civics lessons. We've seen this sort of thing in Texas. We've seen it elsewhere.
Yep.
We even saw in my former state of Indiana move to try to have teachers publish entire years worth of lesson plans in advance. In the end, there's a common denominator between all the stories you touched on today. Donald Trump's insurrection,
mm-hmm.
DeSantis and his attempt to propagandize education, and yes, even R. Kelly. It's a belief in the superiority of one's opinions to the point that no other opinions can be allowed, that only one person's views matter. This is antithetical to democracy.
Yep.
And we have to realize that we cannot play nice with such people because they are not operating under the same rules. You do not bring a feather duster to a boxing match.
Right.
And too often, I believe the Democrats have done this.
Yes, that's so a good description. Yep.
I think what we are seeing is people are being forced to choose. What are their values? Do they support a man or do they support the idea in the Constitution and democracy? I give Cassidy Hutchinson a lot of credit. She is young. She is no doubt facing a ton of pressure, but she had the courage to speak out against what she agreed was wrong. Probably she and I would not have much common ground, as I don't have with Liz Cheney politically, but there's at least a belief in a rule of law in the Constitution, not a man can claim, I have the power, so what I say goes.
Yeah.
That's dictatorship, not democracy.
Yes, so it is. And here's the thing. You know, but here's the difference between Trump and DeSantis. Trump doesn't have a clue. He doesn't know how government works. He doesn't understand any of it. So he just grabs what he can grab, and he'll take it all if he can. And he's stopped when people say, you can't do that. Ron DeSantis, on the other hand, knows that you can't do that. And he says, fuck you, I'll do it anyway because I'm in charge. He's smarter. He knows how it works. And he still doesn't care.
And thus he is the more dangerous
That's
of
right.
the pair.
That's right.
And this is something we have to watch out for. I mean, we benefited in part in January of 2021 by the fact that we did not have the brightest people trying to pull off a coup.
Yeah.
In the case of DeSantis, he is intelligent. He just doesn't care.
Yep, and you're right.
This is what
you are correct.
We have to worry about.
Yep.
Also, since I know we're getting short on time.
Yep. Hold on. I brought in another caller, but Will, finish first. Caller from the 650. Hold on.
Support our local hosts such as Nicole Sandlin and the other independents, because you need all the help you can get in this meeting environment. Have a great night.
Thank you so much, Will. Okay, caller from the 650 area code. Let's try this again. Who is this? There's something wrong with your phone, I think. Is that... Okay, let's try this again. Hello? 650 area code, that's you.
Hello?
That's you, hi.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. You got to turn the computer...
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you. You need to not listen through the
Nicole.
Computer.
Keith
hi.
Ratner.
Who? Ah, Keith. Okay. Well, hey. So Keith is a new listener. He's been saying for days that he wanted to call in.
I'm having some. I can't hear you can't, unfortunately.
Are you listening through the phone?
I'm gonna have to try Skyping.
Okay, you Skype in. That'll be better.
I'll try Skype.
Okay. Bye. Because he's listening to the radio. For days he's been saying he wanted to call in, and he's going to wind up calling in after the top of the hour. Oh, man. Sometimes best laid plans and all that stuff, you know? But anyway, what did I want? I had so many things I wanted to do, and I'm losing, you know, while we wait for him, I should tell you this. Remember yesterday I told you about that congresswoman from Illinois who said this?
President Trump, on behalf of all the MAGA patriots in America, I want to thank you for the historic victory for white life in the Supreme Court yesterday.
Yeah, she won. She won her primary. They lost a seat in Illinois. So hers and another guy, their seats were, you know, combined. She won. But... Marie Newman, who is one of the best progressives we had in Congress, she's the guy who ousted Dan Lipinski 2 years ago. She was defeated by a blue dog in the primary yesterday, which really sucks. Howie Klein will be here tomorrow. We'll go over all the election stuff. By the way, did you hear Sarah Huckabee Sanders? Oh, okay. Now, here's Keith. Keith, can you hear me now? Keith, what? You're not hearing me. I see you.
I can hear you.
Oh, you hear me. Yay. And I look at that. I even have your picture. I can bring your picture up. So, hi. Hi.
Hey.
Keith, talk to me. So,
got a massive delay going on.
Are you listening through the phone, or are you trying to listen through the connection?
Trying to listen through my computer, actually.
Okay, but you can't listen to the programming. You need to listen to the Skype, not my show. And I think you're listening to the show and not the Skype.
I get that. There's some weird...
Oh, my.
Some weird feedback thing going on here. Very frustrating.
Okay, I don't know. Everybody else called in and had no problems.
Wait. Okay.
You got it now? Do you hear me now? I guess you don't hear me now.
I hear you, but it's a massive delay.
Okay, there shouldn't be. You should be able to listen if you're listening just through Skype. Kill the broadcast. Kill the radio show. You hear that? End the radio show and just listen through Skype.
Yes. Yes.
All right, I think we're going to say goodbye to Progressive Voices.
How's that?
I'm fine. Better? Can you hear me? I heard you fine the whole time. You got me now? All right.
Yes.
Okay. So, Keith, new listener.
Yes.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome. Well, thanks for having me. This is fabulous.
Okay. What'd you want to say?
Just discovered you recently, and I'm very happy to hear you speaking some truth. I've been yelling truth for years and alienated a whole bunch of people in the process, and you know, I hate being right about this particular thing that I've been yelling about. People are finally starting to wake up a little bit, gradually.
Uh-huh.
But I've been coming at it from a cult perspective, because I've been sort of studying cults for the past 40 years.
Okay.
And Scientology, primarily. I was introduced to this book, The Scandal of Scientology, when I was like 14 years old. Changed my life, and I've always been highly attuned to cult like activities and behaviors in people. I've been noticing it for years, increasingly. And this Trump thing is has all the earmarks, of course. And it's also deeply rooted in white supremacy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Especially, so this last Roe v. Wade scenario, I try to tell people, you know, you're focusing on the Roe v. Wade abortion women's rights thing while ignoring the fact that there's a much bigger picture here, which and it's absolutely rooted in white supremacy and I must say Nazism. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm Jewish. I was raised in Queens, New York, in a anti-Semitic neighborhood. So I was kind of exposed
where
to that
in Queens?
Sort of thing.
Where, what part of Queens?
Bayside.
I lived in Bayside. I lived in Bayside till I was 11 years old. We moved to Florida when I was 11, the day I graduated from sixth grade at PS 169.
I was at PS 41.
Okay. So I lived in the Bay Terrace area, Bay Terrace apartments over there.
We moved to Bay Terrace when I was about 18. We moved into Bayside when I was 5.
Wow.
So
small world.
Bay Terrace was a little better. Bayside, going to elementary school and junior high school was a complete nightmare, increasingly.
Really?
And then when I got into junior high, I went to Marie Curie, was it 159? And it was like a freaking prison. I mean, I was getting into fights all over the place.
Wow. Because I know, you know, I'm probably older than you are. But we left. I graduated sixth grade. In fact, it just this week marks the 51st anniversary of my end of fifth grade, the day we moved to Florida. I was 11.
Really?
So I'm 62 now. Wow. So we left in 1971. We left New York. And it was the area we lived in was very nice. But I don't, you know, I wasn't traveling throughout Queens back then either.
Well, it was a nice area. Don't get me wrong. But I mean, Bayside in particular, I started noticing it as I started to get older. But I was aware, keenly aware when I was 5 and we first moved into our house that there was a yacht club right down the street that didn't allow Jews. You know, as a kid, I was already exposed to that. And then I'd be, you know, in a group of people and I didn't look Jewish. So they would feel awfully comfortable, you know, throwing the K word around and, you know, you name it.
Well,
and
I guess that's everywhere now.
All the just straight up racism. And so thankfully I had started taking piano lessons when I was like 6. So by the time I was 14, I decided to audition for Performing Arts High School in Manhattan, the original
fame
school. And I got in.
Nice.
Thankfully.
Wow. Good for you.
That got me out of the neighborhood, and I got to go to school in Times Square in a small school. This is the original school, 600 students in the entire school, about 150 per class. So everyone knew each other. All walks of life, all races, creeds, religions, you
as
name
it. As it should be, right? As schools should be.
And it was peaceful, and everybody got along. And there was virtually no racism, none of that nonsense. So I realized, you know, life could be that way. And it was like nirvana, really. I mean, I was going through a lot of rough times. My mother was dying of cancer at the time. But all things considered, I wouldn't have traded that experience for anything. And again, it woke me up, combined with my awareness of cult activity. I was always very keenly aware of racism, anti-Semitism, and just, you know, aberrant cult type proclivities with people. So when I saw this Trump thing happening, and, you know, anyone that grew up in New York and supports Trump in the first place, I got to wonder what the hell's wrong with them.
Right.
You know, and I'm out in California now. So a lot of people out here and outside of New York, frankly, I guess, weren't as keenly aware of him.
No.
So out here, you know, I would.
But we knew in New York, he was everywhere, right? He was everywhere, and he was always an asshole, right?
Complete asshole. It was known. They were, you know, redlining his. I mean, they came from the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
They did the worst of the worst.
That's
atrocities,
right.
Came to real estate, and just generally, it was just horrible human beings.
Yep.
Just a bloodline of horrible human beings.
And yep.
Again, how anybody could support him, and these are adults, some people that are older than me that are just, and I have to say, my brother, who's 10 years older than me, that I've pretty much had to disown at this point, because I have zero tolerance for it at this point, and he's completely off the deep end. And I saw it happening, and I was sort of powerless to stop it. And he's up in San Bernardino County, up living on a mountain, going to Trump rallies.
Oh, God.
My father fought the Nazis in World War II, you know, and he's rolling over in his grave right now. And
I'm sure.
My brother and apparently his wife, who I had given, I guess, a little too much credit for brains, she decided to side with him. And the two of them have just said the most disgusting things to me.
Because
this is their response. When you confront any of these individuals about anything, they will dredge up the worst of the worst things to say about you. Now, you know, I was no angel in my life, and I've gone through some things. But frankly, I was harming myself more than anybody else. You know, I went through my drug period years ago, got out of it, rehabbed myself, got back on my feet, got married, had kids, you know, and was relatively successful. And, you know, regardless of what I went through, I would never say these horrible things to anybody. And when you confront these people, if they have any sort of ammunition on you, even if it's 40 years old, they're going to dredge that up.
Yeah,
and it's really interesting. They're just in complete, utter denial. You cannot reason with them. And I try to tell people. Someone posted something just the other day, and I had to restrain myself. She said something about if we could all just write letters to our Republican congressman and to their nations. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, what are you smoking?
Yeah.
Have you tried to reason with any of these people?
Because
if you've spent even 10 minutes. Attempting this, you'll realize what a futile effort it is. Their reasoning centers have been short-circuited. They're zombies. This is the zombie apocalypse.
Yep.
This is what
you've
been writing about.
Keith, so. I'm going to interrupt you here because we're actually on overtime now.
Yes,
the show ended at the top of the hour. Progressive All Voices right. Network is gone. We're on overtime. We go into overtime occasionally. I'm just letting you know. But you must not be a regular like caller to talk radio because usually you make your point. You get to it. And, we're just meeting each other. And I know you're a new listener of the show. And I'm happy to have you here. And I know you've been wanting to call for a few days. So
yes.
I'm giving you a little leeway. Was there a particular point you wanted to make about the world today that you can get in about, 30 to 45 seconds?
30 to 45 seconds. Well, really just expressing my dismay. And, my own family has been fractured by all this very severely. And I've lost friends. I have a good friend of mine who told me he's aligned with the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, and he's very proud of the fact that they have Black and Hispanic people in their ranks and in the leadership positions.
God.
And I have, that is just a bait and switch, and it's the promise of whiteness is what they offer. And I've been listening to, there was this Jeff Charlotte who wrote.
I know Jeff. Jeff is a friend. He's been on the show many times. He's awesome.
I just heard him on Pete Dominic the other night.
Okay.
And so basically echoing a lot of my sentiments. And I've been calling this Nazism. People have been getting very uptight.
It actually is, though. Can I just say, we are watching, I used to call it, it's a slow-moving coup. Well, first of all, it's not slow-moving anymore. It most certainly is a coup. And the fact that people are making excuses for these authoritarians, if you want to call them that. What I said to my husband last night, it's like we're sitting here. Everybody knows it's happening. You know, we watched the TV show. It was on, I think, the National Geographic channel called Genius. And they did one about Einstein. They did one on Picasso. They did one on Aretha Franklin. But this one on Einstein. And it shows that they were in Germany seeing what was happening around them. And he and his wife finally got out. But that's how I feel. It's like this Nazism is arising around us. We all know it's happening. And there are those of us who are sensible who say, we got to stop this. And yet nothing stops it. That's where I feel we are right now. So, you're not crazy.
Well, nothing yet has stopped it. But, fingers crossed. And I hope you don't leave the country. I'm not trying to leave the country. And if we all run away, then we're going to leave the country to the dogs.
Well, I can't afford to leave the country, so I'm not going anywhere. Yes, David, my husband is here. So, hi. David, say hi to Keith. Keith is a new listener.
That's exactly why I came in here. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Hi, David. How you doing?
What part of the Bay Area you live in?
I'm in San Francisco right now.
San Francisco proper? Cool. Great place. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, don't feel like the Lone Ranger in regard to your family. My father was an immigrant from Belarus. He came here in 1907 at the age of 12. He was educated in a yeshiva in Belarus. However, we were allowed to choose our religious path, if you will, once we, in the case of my sisters, were bat mitzvah and I was bar mitzvah. my father politically knew four Democratic presidents, was very, very left-wing, very left-wing, very fucking left-wing. The youngest of my three sisters is a born-again Jew. She is not only a born-again Jew, she's Hasidic.
Yeah.
And the icing on that cake, in addition to rejecting, you know, my father's teaching on that side, she is now as right-wing as it is possible to be. She is a maggot. She is a Trumper. She is a COVID denier. She is a climate denier.
And she lives in Israel.
And she lives in Israel. No. You pick whatever issue you want to pick, and she is as diametrically opposed to reality as it is possible to be. I haven't spoken to the woman October 10th of this year. It'll be 36 years since I've spoken to her. And my oldest of my three sisters became Orthodox, and I have nothing more to do with her either because she's insane. So I'm sure neither you nor I are unique in that regard. There's plenty of people with insane families. You hang in there. You do what you know to be right, and fuck them if they can't take a joke.
Well, here, just to give you a quick, real quick. So I'm 10 years younger than my brother, 13 years younger than my sister.
Wow.
So the last thing my brother said to me, says, the one reason you exist is because abortion wasn't legal in 1966. They discussed it at length. You are and continue to be a mistake. You prove it daily.
Oh, God.
Isn't that beautiful?
Lovely.
Isn't that awesome?
Just lovely. Right? We can't pick our families. You know, you get who you're stuck with in that realm. You know, unless you adopt. I adopted my daughter, so I could say, actually, I chose her.
Well, that's fabulous.
There you go.
And I,
But other than
Well, I'm not going to keep you, but I would like to call in again. I'll try to make points a little more efficiently.
Okay, do it. And the show runs, you know, usually from 2 to 3, so Pacific time. Yep. So, but Keith, welcome aboard. We've got a great group who usually hangs out in the chat room and YouTube. So if you want to stop in there, there's always something going on there. But it was nice to meet you, and I'm glad you called in.
You too, guys.
Okay,
take care.
You take care. Bye-bye. Keith, everybody, our new listener from the Bay Area. All right. And with that, you know, there were a few other things that I really, really wanted to play for you today. So this is what I started to play when Keith called in. I was going to play this clip. And I just, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to be the gubernatorial nominee down there in Alabama, which is just disgusting. And so she was at a campaign rally the other night. And she said this.
We will make sure that when a kid is in the womb, they're as safe as they are in a classroom, the workplace.
Okay. No, I just, you know, classroom, it ends right there. This, you know, but she got it wrong because she wants to make sure that when a kid is in the womb, they're safer than they are in a classroom, right?
Arkansas.
Sorry, Alabama people. Arkansas. I'm talking about Arkansas. Let's hear that again because I blew it when I said Alabama. No, I know. Alabama gave us Don Siegelman. So Alabama can't be all bad. What was that again you said, Sarah?
We will make sure that when a kid is in the womb, they're as safe as they are in a classroom.
Yeah, so there was that. There was that. Oh, and maybe we should hear a few words of wisdom from Herschel Walker, that brain surgeon. You know, they say many football players are suffering from CTE, right? That's what it is, right? CTE? It's, you know, their brain has been jostled too many times, so it's not quite working right anymore. So how about that, Herschel Walker?
And so somebody had to start it out. So that means it had to be a God. Because it didn't just, some bomb blew up and it started out. And then I tell you something else I heard. Now think about this. Because at one time, science said man came from apes.
Mm.
Did it not? That's when you go to the science.
Every time I read or hear that, I think to myself, you just didn't read the same Bible I did.
Well, this was interesting, though. If that is true, why are there still apes? Think about it.
You know, now you're getting too smart for
us. No. Think about this. We have an evolution that is, we've gotten so intelligent that if that is true, why are there still apes? And then the conception of a baby.
Oh, my
God.
Let
me tell you, science can't do that. They still trying to do it.
What?
But it can't because there had to be a God. So when God came and said, now, let me create this, and God created the earth, and he put Adam and Eve there and stuff, and then this is what was so funny. This is what makes it even better. Even in that little garden, he said, from this place, you got all the freedom, just like we got in the United States. You got all the freedom. Do whatever you want to do. But then he said, nah, don't mess with that tree over there, because you mess with that tree, you will surely die. So you had rules and regulations.
Oh, my God. Now, so that's Herschel Walker. I believe I still have, do I still have it here? Yes. Yay. I'm going to be able to end the show with, here we go. Okay, so this is a message from Reverend Raphael Warnock. You heard Herschel Walker talking about God and religion and, you know, evolution, and it can't be because why are there still apes? And oh my God. So now the man whose seat he's trying to take is Raphael Warnock, who thankfully won his seat a couple of years ago, right? He's the reason that the Democrats are in control of the Senate. Raphael Warnock. He happens to be a preacher who still works. He still preaches every weekend at the same Washington, D.C. church where Martin Luther King Jr. did his preaching. Again, I'm the atheist Jew, so don't ask me the name of it. But, you know, he's on hallowed ground there. So you heard what Herschel Walker had to say about religion and evolution and life, frankly, and conception. There has to be a God. Now let's listen to Raphael Warnock.
Hurting. People are tired. People have seen what they've worked their entire lives to build turned upside down at a moment's notice. They're wondering when things will get back to normal, and at the same time not knowing what normal even means anymore. At my heart, I am and always will be a pastor. That means going to work for my congregation. It means understanding the challenges you face and then doing my best to make a difference. Every day I carry your concerns with me. That's why I've worked so hard to protect and create jobs. That's why I know we must make healthcare more affordable. That's why I'm cracking down on the corporations who are raising prices out of control. What I want the people of Georgia to know is that I see you. I hear you. I am you. I understand the work that I was sent to the Senate to do. That's what I intend to keep doing for Georgia.
Please.
I'm Raphael Warnock, and I approve this message.
Okay, Georgia, you got a choice between those two men. And, my brain hurts. By the way, it is the Ebenezer Baptist Church. Thank you. David told me, and so did Lauren in the chat room and a few other people. You guys rock. This is why I call it opposite world. There's no comparison between the two. One is a brain injured former football player who knows nothing about government, politics, service. And the other is Raphael Warnock, who knows everything about those things. Oh my God. I guess I'll leave you with the news because I got to go. You know, I got to be on a tomato call tonight. A few months ago, I started in this project that the University of Florida is doing through one of its, I think, doctorate programs, helping people become like citizen scientists. And we grew tomatoes. And today's the last day of it. So I got to Zoom with them in 40 minutes. So I'm going to go. I will leave you with No, you're right. Dub Big Cat says there's no more of a stark difference than Warnock and Herschel. I mean, it's night and day, literally night and day, literally sun up and sun down, literally brilliant and fucking stupid as a rock. All right. I'm just rambling now. All right. I'm going to leave you with the news. And we'll reconvene again tomorrow. Thanks for being here. Thanks for those of you who called in. Tomorrow, Howie Klein will be here. We'll go over what happened in the elections yesterday. Yeah, it's not really good. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Don't say we didn't warn you. Elections have consequences. Breaking news from...
No.
And I did it again. It's the wrong one again. My God. You know what's happening is my files are not transferring from one computer to the other. So hold on. I got what's news right here. But that's the short version. I want to play for you the long version. Bear with me a second. I got it right here. Ah, you know, it's overtime. Okay. Now, here's today's What's News.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Explosive. That's the word that's most invoked in describing the testimony delivered Tuesday by Cassidy Hutchinson, a former special assistant to the president, though he says he doesn't know her, and executive assistant to Mark Meadows, the White House chief of staff. Among the stunning revelations we learned from Hutchinson's testimony, that Donald Trump knew that some of the supporters on January 6th were armed and he didn't care. As he put it, "I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me." So you know where his priorities lie. And then he raged to take the effing magnetometers away. Those are the metal detectors meant to find weapons. He said, "Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here. Let the people in and take the mags away." Wow. If true, that means that Donald Trump told the crowd to march to the Capitol to fight like hell, knowing that many of them were armed. Trump also demanded that his team take him to the Capitol. He said during his speech at the Ellipse that he was going to march with them, and apparently he really wanted to. Although some in his orbit, including White House counsel Pat Cipollone, believed that he should not go, that there were legal ramifications, so he should not go. Cassidy Hutchinson recounting that Cipollone told her to ensure that the motorcade did not go to the Capitol, saying we'd get, quote, charged with every crime imaginable if we make that movement happen. Well, Hutchinson continued and said that when the motorcade refused to go to the Capitol, Trump angrily grabbed the steering wheel and allegedly assaulted a Secret Service agent. Now, she said that Secret Service agent, Mr. Engel, and Tony Ornato, then the White House deputy chief of staff, told her the story, to which he responded, quote, "I'm the effing president. Take me up to the Capitol now." Hutchinson says she was told this story shortly after it happened by Robert Engel, who was the head of the security detail, and at the time, White House Deputy Chief of Staff Tony Ornato. Well, a bit of pushback on that. The Washington Post reporting that Secret Service agents dispute that Donald Trump assaulted any agent or tried to grab the steering wheel on January 6th. They agree that Trump was furious about not being able to go to the Capitol with his supporters, and they allegedly offer to testify under oath. I wonder if they'll deny the conversation. We were told by Carol Lenig of the Washington Post that these two were known to be very big Donald Trump supporters. Just saying. Couple of other big bombshell revelations from Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony: that Donald Trump agreed with the rioters that Mike Pence deserved to be hanged. Lovely. And that Mark Meadows and Rudy Giuliani both asked for pardons from Donald Trump. And then at the end of the hearing, we got a glimpse into what's still to come, as Liz Cheney pointed out some instances of witness tampering. And she warned that the panel, quote, "will be discussing these issues as a committee and carefully considering our next steps." The committee didn't say when they'd meet again, but now it's expected that they'll reconvene in early July.
There are some unintended consequences. CNN reporting that the startling revelations from Hutchinson's testimony about Trump's erratic behavior and his state of mind on January 6th could make it easier for Republican presidential hopefuls to challenge the former guy in a primary, should he run. With one Trump ally adding, this is basically a campaign commercial for Ron DeSantis 2024. From somebody who lives in Florida, you do not want to go there. Just saying. Tuesday was primary day in Colorado, Illinois, New York, Oklahoma, Utah, with runoffs in Mississippi and South Carolina. And the results were mixed. In Colorado, Republican primary voters backed moderate candidates over three hardline election deniers. So we've got that. U.S. Senate candidate John O'Day, who recognized the legitimacy of President Biden's election win and supports qualified abortion rights, beat State Rep. Ron Hanks, who was at the Capitol on January 6th. Voters also rejected election conspiracy theorist Tina Peters in the Colorado Republican Secretary of State primary. So that's good. The Democratic governors of Colorado, Illinois, and New York, that's Jared Polis, J.P. Pritzker, and Kathy Hochul, respectively, all won their primaries. But their opponents are now known. In Colorado, it'll be Heidi Ganahl. In Illinois, Darren Bailey. And in New York, Congressman Lee Zeldin easily beat Rudy Giuliani's spawn. Bad news, though, in Illinois, on at least two fronts. First of all, remember Mary Miller? She's the member of Congress who, in a rally with the former guy the other day, actually said this out loud.
Victory for white life in the Supreme Court yesterday.
She defeated Congressman Rodney Davis in a GOP primary. Two districts were combined into one. She survived. And unfortunately, progressive Marie Newman was ousted in her primary by New Dem Sean Casten. I guess all the big money attacks from groups run by Democrats did this. Unreal. President Biden is in Europe participating in a NATO summit, and Turkey finally dropped its objection to Sweden and Finland being brought into NATO, so that's going to move ahead. Well, it's hard to forget Jeffrey Epstein, even though he's dead, but his accomplice, disgraced socialite Ghislaine Maxwell, was sentenced to 20 years in federal prison for her role in the sex trafficking scheme of the now dead Epstein. Eight women sent the court victim impact statements to describe how her crimes affected their lives. Maxwell didn't testify in her trial last year when she was convicted on five counts, including sex trafficking of a minor. But she did speak in court before her sentencing, addressing the victims. She said, quote, I'm very sorry for the pain that you've experienced. I hope my conviction brings you closure. And along those same lines, today, Wednesday, predator and disgraced R&B star R. Kelly will be sentenced for sexually abusing women and girls. Prosecutors in that case are asking for at least 25 years in prison. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button. We'll be right back.